Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee, tech contributor with the Business Times.
Thanks for staying with us here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Time to talk tech with our tech contributor Wong Kai Yee. How many times fast can you say tech?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Kai Yee. So as 2019 draws to a close, inevitably we talk about these sort of things, right? At the end of the year, how many app downloads have there been? How have app downloads fared? That is, so it seems as it stands, consumers worldwide are on track to download a record 120 billion apps across iOS and Google Play in 2019, a 5% year-over-year increase. So that's an impressive number, Kai, but in dollar terms, how much is that? How much has people spent on apps this year so far?
In short, a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot, much.
Thanks for coming. Goodbye. What do you mean by a lot?
Well, incredibly, 120 billion app downloads. That is incredible across iOS and Google Play. And according to app intelligence service App Annie, it's impressive given that these are net new downloads and do not include reinstalls or app updates. So these are fresh app downloads.
New downloads.
Exactly, new downloads. So for example, so someone downloads like TikTok, for example, whatever, and it's whatever new app, and these are all counted towards these net new downloads. Mm. And I mean, the numbers just, they're quite staggering. So consumer spend is set to grow even faster, 15% year on year, and it will approach $90 billion worldwide in 2019. Outside of games, so obviously games are a very lucrative sector, the growth was mostly driven by the photo and video and entertainment categories. And it's expected to continue. I mean, we have Disney Plus coming online, and that's going to debut, I'm pretty sure, in Asia sometime next year, early next year perhaps. Mm-hmm. And news services as well, so Apple News and all that. Different revenue streams, excuse me, for publishers. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at the apps that have been really popular this year. Anyone want to hazard a guess which are the really popular ones? For example, let's say just apps alone, not even games.
I'm going to guess TikTok because you mentioned it.
Well, TikTok is at number 4 on the top 10 apps and games by downloads worldwide. Uh-huh. The top one is actually Facebook Messenger.
Oh, wow.
Facebook Messenger is now the top app downloaded, followed by, obviously, Facebook itself, the Facebook app. Mm. And at number 3, we have WhatsApp Messenger. Everybody is using WhatsApp Messenger.
That is very popular as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have TikTok at number 4. And number 5, we have Instagram. And for games, for the mobile gamers out there, PUBG Mobile. Mm. It's this open world game that people can basically run about and shoot each other.
Okay.
Long and short of it.
Sounds fun.
It is. That is number 2 on the games list. Mm-hmm. And number 1 is a game called Free Fire, which was developed by SEA, the company, right? Mm. So looking at top 10 apps and games by consumer spend, so basically how much people spend money inside this app.
Okay.
Could anyone guess what number 1 is? Starts with a T.
Scratching head.
Starts with a T.
Starts with a T.
Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go. Of course you'd know that, wouldn't you, Bernard? Tisk, tisk.
Of course you would know that, Bernard. Tinder is the top app by consumer spend. So clearly people are very interested in spending either lots of time and lots of money on Tinder. Mm-hmm. Second in the list is Netflix. Mm-hmm. Third is Tencent Video. And the fourth app is one from Baidu called iTE. It's also a video app. Mm. And fifth is YouTube.
Wow.
And YouTube has been coming up with YouTube Premium. It allows you to skip ads. Mm. So YouTube has been really going for the ads business recently. It's been introducing ads in all its videos. And the only way you can get rid of them is to go for YouTube Premium. Which gets, I think you pay about something about $10 a month.
And
or
you
something.
Don't see the ads.
Exactly. You don't see the ads. And the bonus is you can run YouTube in the background of your phone. For those of us who like to listen to music on YouTube, that's really a boon, given that YouTube for the past few years hasn't been, you haven't been able to, you know, listen to music on the background. Mm-hmm. You have to have the app open, right?
Right.
So incredibly, all these apps are the top of the list this year.
Moving on, should AI be made mandatory in schools? Well, that's what SoftBank founder Masayoshi Son thinks as he made remarks that Japan should start catching up to heavyweights China and the US in this nascent but important field. So what does he think that Japan should do to catch up with the other nations in the field of AI, Kai?
Well, Mr. Masayoshi-san has just gone straight for it and said that Japan should make artificial intelligence a mandatory subject for college entrance exams. just straight up said it, yep, we should just make it mandatory for everyone to study it for college entrance exams. And this is to counter the yawning gap with the United States and China in this very nascent field. So Mr. Sun told a government conference earlier this week that he said that Japanese students don't study if they are not asked. I wonder where I've heard that from.
That's a left-handed compliment, or, you know, really just sort of...
Yes. And he said, let's make it mandatory. Then Japanese students will catch up. So it seems that making a study of AI sort of mandatory, it might be one of the ways that, you know, countries can catch up. Because the US and China combined, they obviously lead the world in AI papers, published patents and all that. If countries want to catch up, I think making it a part of the course of study might be a viable option.
I'm wondering if you can just sort of straight away nosedive into AI, shouldn't you maybe start learning coding first or something to that?
You probably should start learning coding first, yeah. I mean, all the basis of AI is, you know, fundamentally good code. Code that probably doesn't come alive, you know, and does it terminate on all of us. But yeah, definitely coding and the sort of mental organization that comes with coding. I've done a little bit of coding before, and it really helps to sort of structure your thinking, right? It makes you think logically, you know, step one, what do you do? And after step one, step two. And that kind of sort of, you know, helps maybe the younger ones help to develop their thinking.
And what about Masayoshi Son's SoftBank Fund? What's it doing to sort of boost investment in the AI field?
Right, so they are putting their money where their mouth is, and they said, and SoftBank and its $100 billion vision fund, they're focusing investments in two particular areas. So obviously, they think these two areas are very important in the course in the coming years. So it's autonomous driving and DNA-centered medicine. For Japan, it's a particular problem because it has got an aging population, and it's also seeing a rise in traffic accidents involving elderly drivers and also subsequently healthcare costs.
How much is that? Is genome mapping or that sort of thing?
Exactly, genome mapping, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and AI is perfectly placed to, you know, pour through huge reams of data coming out from such research. And obviously SoftBank thinks there is a market in this, and it's put its money in these two areas. Also, it's also put its money in Uber, which is developing its own autonomous driving division, and it's putting money in medical testing firm Guardant Health. So I think it's obvious that Mr. Sun thinks that AI is the next frontier, and he's making sure that his SoftBank fund is moving in that direction to put investment where it is most needed in future.
Well, you're tuned to Money FM 89.3. You are talking to our tech contributor, Wong Kai-yi, on anything tech. Well, the latest news, Kai-yi, that just came out like yesterday was a tender to install, operate, and manage 6,000 new digital display screens in lifts and lobbies in housing board blocks, has been won by Target Media Cloud Creative. It beat out three vendors for the tender. And the project will be fully funded by TMCC, which is a joint venture between Singapore Press Holdings and Focus Media China. How many of these panels, Kai, will there be? And what can residents expect to see on these screens?
Right. So you have these 6,000 new digital display screens will join the already 8,700 such panels installed at common areas in HDB blocks. I don't know.
I've seen them.
Yeah, you've seen them, right? Yeah, so have I.
It scared me the other day when the audio came on all of a sudden.
Yes, you might have been an advertisement that you were looking at. Counting the numbers, it'll be about 14,700, call it 15,000 panels at various HDB blocks all around Singapore. And residents can expect to see everything from local notices on activities in their estate. So maybe upgrading activities or construction work, you know, all these can be deployed wirelessly to all these displays. Also, these displays can display emergencies and public health advisory. So if there's, maybe a dengue problem in the area, residents can be easily notified of these sorts of things.
Anecdotally, the feedback I've gotten so far, I've heard, is that there's too much information on it. I can't really finish reading before it
changes to the next screen, right?
How many companies and brands have come on board so far, Kai?
Right, so we've got McDonald's, Mitsubishi, and Redoxon, which is the company the effervescent
vitamin
tablets.
C, yeah.
Makes you thirsty after a long day at work and something. Just look at it. Ooh, just need a drink of that. As well as government agencies like the Ministry of Communications and Information and the Ministry of Manpower also have broadcast content on these screens. So a huge number of possibilities for these, especially for advertising. And speaking of advertising, HDB said that commercial advertisements could also be displayed, but these will be capped at 30% of the total screen time. maybe that sound that you heard that scared you won't be around for, you know, too long, hopefully.
I'm hopeful.
It'll be moderated, yeah.
It'll be moderated, exactly.
Okay, moving on to the next topic now. If you were thinking of laying the smack down on someone on Instagram, Stone Cold, think twice, because this social media platform is launching a new feature designed to make users reconsider before posting videos or photos with offensive captions. So tell us, Kaya, how does the system work?
Yeah, if anyone wants to sort of really lay the smack down on someone that you don't like, yeah, I think Instagram has got something up its sleeve for you. So moving forward, if someone tries to post a caption on Instagram that the app detects as being potentially offensive, the user will see an alert asking them to reconsider their words.
What sort of words? Of course, vulgarities.
Of course,
and then
of course.
What? I want to lay the smack down. That might be
yeah, maybe you might not be able to use the word smack down. So
I see.
Many asterisks needed and the word smack down.
Okay.
But basically, Instagram is using artificial intelligence to try and detect what kind of words the user is posting. So like we said, obviously, vulgarities would be among one of the few
I imagine
class
that'd be
of words.
The easiest
to detect. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm.
But you can be offensive without using vulgarities. Bad
right, and that might actually be a little bit more difficult because human interaction, we have tone, we have context. We might not necessarily use a word as is intended, but it's in the context of the whole piece of context of the whole sentence that the word is being used that machines nowadays may not be able to capture as well as human moderators.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, at least Instagram is, you know, trying to make interactions a little bit more positive among its users.
What's about language?
What about
different
languages,
yeah, for example? So what if we use Singlish?
Singlish, that might be very difficult indeed. Anyone who's able to create an AI system that can detect like Singlish, like vagaries in Singlish and try and single them out, I think they're going to make a huge pile of money here.
How soon can we see this though?
So we're going to see this in a few select countries before the global rollout arrives probably next year, early next year, in the first half of next year, 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we let you go, Kai, any tech fact you have in store for all of us today?
Right. So we all use Google Maps, right?
Yeah.
We all use Google. I mean, not many of us, but some of us use Google Earth as well. But Google Maps is obviously the more
popular. Spying purposes
or stalking purposes. Either one of them. Google has reviewed for the very first time how much it has actually captured the Earth using Google Maps.
Oh, okay.
Google has actually captured more than 10 million miles of street view imagery, and that distance
10 million miles.
Yeah. Back of the neck.
Because we're sort of more used to kilometers, but still, I'm sure that's like several million kilometers as well.
Exactly.
Give us a context.
We'll give you some context. Yeah. Indeed, Google said this will amount to circling the Earth more than 400 times.
400 times.
So Google has, I think, has basically captured every single square inch of Earth that is to be captured. And for Google Earth itself, it has a total of 36 million square miles of satellite imagery for people to browse. And in context, that is where 98% of the world's, where 98% of the world's population lives.
So the other 2%, they haven't
penguins,
mapped
penguins, oh, and I polar bears, I suppose. Yeah.
Where no human has boldly gone where no one has... Okay.
No human has gone to Antarctica. Just polar bears there.
Always a pleasure speaking to you. Wong Kar-yee, our tech contributor. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.